Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And particularly today, Willard and Dibbs is live from Splash at Thrive City and presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage. Brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. Imagine that. Imagine the NBA season and how do you see it going? Yeah, that Western Conference group, I mean, I think we underrate this all the time. Cooper Flagg can be uber talented. And yet, that doesn't affect winning yet. To me, the hardest thing to do in the NBA as an individual player, especially a young player, is have an impact on winning. And this is the thing that we fall in love with, just talent. And talent is step one, right? Jonathan Kuminga's got tons of talent. Cade Cunningham, for years, you could see it right away. You're like, that guy has a lot of talent. But it didn't really contribute to winning at a high level until last year. And even last year, you're like, there's a certain point in the arc. You're like a high-ish seed in the Eastern Conference, but you're not really taking a team all the way, at least not yet. So Cooper Flagg can be on the team, and that may have its moments up and down, but like, is he ready to affect winning? He's got a blend with Kyrie, who's not even there yet. Klay is another year older. I'd love to see Anthony Davis stay healthy for a year. I'll believe it when
yeah,
I see it.
Usually doesn't happen. Yeah. And, you know, you look at Wembanyama as a rookie. He was awesome. They went 22-60. Last year they went 34-48. So you could look at the progression of that team and think 22, 34, will it be 46? That would be a nice secondary jump. It's probably going to be closer to 40, 41, and that would get you into the play-in. And then next year would be where you would look to San Antonio and think, all right, now you can go ahead and make that leap. And we can talk about Paolo Banchero in Orlando and the fact that now in his third or fourth year, they've done that same trending. Cade Cunningham, they've gone boop, 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 boop. You know, three or four years, three or four steps of you're better, the cast around you is better, and the team is starting to kind of figure things out. And that's where, you know, you look at a lot of these teams, and Cooper Flagg's a good example. If he's your best player, like Wemby was as a rookie, you're going to be 22-60. If he's your second or third best player-ish, and he, honestly, if he's your fourth best player, and he has a good rookie year, now you've got action if you're Dallas and Davis is healthy and Klay still has the jumper and all the rest of, you know, Kyrie still's got life left. That's where it's interesting. You look at the young teams with the young core, then you look at the old teams, the Warriors and the Clippers with the old core, and then you look at the teams who are peaking, like Denver, Minnesota, even Memphis, they don't have quite the same core. OKC, you've got a bunch of guys who are in that 26 to 30 range. And that's, if you're the Warriors, that's what you're going up against. You're not as worried about the young pups. And you're more worried about these teams that are 6, 7, 8 deep with guys all in their late 20s.
I want to take a moment, too, to acknowledge the Warrior fans who got here a good solid 2.5 hours before tip-off. Those Adirondack chairs you've been talking about are starting to fill up.
Yep.
Got a lot of blue and gold out here. This is going to be a real watch party now up here on the screen at Shea Center with the Warriors on the road. But with a beautiful night in the city, this is already starting to fill up 2 hours ahead of time. I love seeing this, and I think that the first week of the season is really going to maybe help activate people. I've tried to make this point a couple different times this offseason. It was a weird offseason, and I think, in a way, while people might be optimistic about the roster they've ended up with, the offseason did not do the Warriors franchise any favors in terms of building excitement.
Yeah.
They were the last team to make a move. And so much negativity and opinion surrounded the Jonathan Kuminga situation, and it really overwhelmed what the Warriors were trying to build. And then once they finally had news for people, it was all just like this dump in like 4 days.
Right.
It was like, okay, there we go. Here we go. Jonathan signed. We got Al Horford. We get Seth, and Seth will wait until November 11th, and here comes D'Anthony Melton, and GP2 is back. Training camp. Go. And then boom, like 2 weeks later, here we are. And so it's also all the while the 49ers are off to an interesting and good start. And so I just think that tonight might be jumping on people a little bit. But between now and a week from tonight, the Warriors will not only be five games into the schedule,
yep,
all five of them are against these Western Conference opponents that we're talking about. And I think if they're able to navigate that, let's say with at least three wins out of those first five, that'd go a long way to kind of stoking the fire for the year.
Yeah, and I do think that what you're saying is interesting, and I'm not just saying that because that's exactly what I wrote down. Five games, eight nights, all on the West Coast.
Yes.
So you do need to yak in because these games are going to be coming at you pow, pow, pow. The big challenge, even for an older team early in the year, is they have two back-to-backs. They play this Thursday, Friday. They play next Monday, Tuesday.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know if Al Horford is for sure not going to play back-to-backs. We can ask Steve Kerr that tomorrow when he joins us. But an older team, you want to make sure you kind of spell guys early in the year. It's not just, okay, we're going to wait until February and, oh, now you're tired? Now we're going to give you a blow. You do have to kind of space some of this stuff out. You've got another back-to-back, two in early November, the 4th and the 5th, the 11th and the 12th, the 18th and the 19th. So within the first month of basketball, you've got five back-to-backs for an older team. So it's going to be important for them to come out and, you know, get spots where they can rest guys and still win basketball games.
Yeah, and only one of these back-to-backs will include a plane flight, at least over this next week. 888-957-9570, the number. Just to familiarize yourself with the cadence of all this, obviously they're in L.A. tonight. Thursday night, the home opener. The Nuggets will be here. We'll be here. We're already looking forward to it. They got to get a plane on that night and be in Portland for Friday night. But then you turn around, come right back home, and your Monday, Tuesday back-to-back is here at Chase Center with both the Memphis Grizzlies and then the Clippers coming to town. I don't think five games into an 82-game schedule tells you much. Remember last year, through the first 15 games, I think they were 12-3, and everybody thought they were going to win a ring. And then a couple months later, they were under 500 before finally making a Jimmy Butler trade and making a run into the playoffs. But at the same time, you're right. This is going to be super fascinating because the Warriors get to hit the ground running at the start of this season. In theory, they are a fully built roster that feels like, as Steve Kerr has put it, a lot of the pieces fit already right out of the gate. And then you get to test it. You get to test it right away. By the time we go to bed a week from tonight, you'll have seen the Warriors play the Lakers. You'll have seen them play the Clippers. You'll have seen them play the Denver Nuggets. And we'll get a better idea of how these new pieces do fit. And then obviously remember, there are built-in acquisitions here as well in the name mainly of D'Anthony Melton and Seth Curry. But hopefully by the end of the week, Moses Moody too.
Yeah, and that's what you need to do when you look at the schedule, five games and eight nights to just roll this baby out. And then I'm looking at the first real road trip. You've got six games and nine nights, including two back-to-backs, and you've got a stay-and-play in San Antonio. You do a Wednesday, Friday in San Antonio against the big fella, but you've got OKC, Then the next night in San Antonio, you stay and play. You travel to New Orleans, then you travel to Orlando, and you go Orlando-Miami back-to-back. So that road trip, they have two of those road trips that are pretty tough. I mean, yeah, it's only five cities, six games, five cities, nine nights, but that's a lot of games in succession, and this is where I think about the depth, and not only Yapods and Kuminga and Buttered and the guys who you know we're going to play, but even other people like Will Richard, who I love, maybe even a dollop of Pat Spencer and Gee Santos. Players 9 through 13, you're going to need to use some of them in spot to just eat minutes.
I want you to hear from Steve Kerr with what he said to us just last week about this very situation, the roster, and how it all kind of fits together and how he believes things could start off nicely at the beginning of the year because of it. Here's Steve Kerr with us last week on 95.7 The Game.
I think we are set. You know, we love our roster. We love the mix of our young guys with our vets. We think our young guys have made huge strides the last couple of years and are ready to take another step forward, and that they'll be able to help us win games when some of the older guys are missing games due to injury or rest or whatever it is. So love the roster. And, you know, to be honest, over my 12 years, I've been incredibly blessed with great rosters year in and year out. So it's not always, you know, a picture perfect fit. I think the last few years, the fit has been a little tricky at times. But this feels really good. The puzzle definitely fits well this year, and we have a lot of guys who can really contribute.
Love it. Roster puzzle.
He loves the puzzle.
Yeah, the puzzle is not fit at times, but this year it does. And I don't know about you, I'm about to sound really, really sports fan selfish, because there are a lot of cities in America who would go, oh, I'm sorry, have you not competed for a title for 3 years? Does that feel long
for
you?
Yeah.
The Niners were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. The Warriors about three-plus years removed from an actual championship. The Giants haven't been good since 2021. They're about to get a new manager. But I'll tell you what, dude, I don't know. Like, I'm really ready. I'm ready for something that will run deep into a season and make this city really feel it, feel that anxiety and feel that kind of anticipation, if you will, towards something that could be really, really special. I don't know if the 49ers have that in them this year with all of the injury problems they have, but what a fascinating start they've had. The Giants will open up a new era down the street with a new manager here shortly and start a year with Devers. And then there's this, man. And they've probably, quite frankly, in this moment, they've got the next best shot at actually doing it. And obviously, it's late in Steph Curry's career, so there's not going to be we're not far removed from them having to reboot the whole thing, and then they'll go to the back of the line. But right now, in this moment, today, I see them as the front of the line.
Interesting, because I want to ask you this question, and 888-957-9570, if you want to weigh in as well. If you just look at it right now, knowing what we know about the Niners, 5-2 with a myriad of injuries. Warriors about to embark on their first game here in an hour and 45 or so with an older roster but championship pedigree. Who do you think goes deeper? And the 49ers would have 1, 2, 3, 4 playoff games if they went to the Super Bowl, and the Warriors would have 1, 2, 3, 4 playoff series if they won the NBA championship. So can the Niners win a game? Is that more likely than the Warriors winning a series? The Warriors winning two series, the Niners winning two games? How do you see that in terms of postseason run likelihood?
Right now, it's these guys. It's the Golden State Warriors for me. No question about it. The Golden State Warriors right now are who I would bet on to have the best chance at a long run. I mean, the Giants, are you kidding me? That's not even really a conversation,
right,
at least not in
right
this moment. There are parts of their roster that I like, but they need to be rebooted.
Well, it's not 4 years without a playoff berth, right?
No. I mean, yes, it's
the Giants,
announcement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now we're four.
And as far as the 49ers, again, they're 5-2. They're in first place. There's two other teams with the exact same record. The NFC feels kind of stacked and deep, and there's no Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, so I'm super excited about what they've achieved. But the idea that this is going to go somewhere really special, Field.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Was overly optimistic even to someone like me. The Warriors.
And you're an optimistic guy.
Yeah, I don't think you need to stretch your brain very far to see this getting deep, at least into the conference semifinals. I don't see that as a stretch at all.
And I also don't think it's a stretch to think that the Niners can go to the playoffs and win a playoff game. And, you know, we did this a little bit yesterday. Like, if they were a wild card, and who would you most like to play? And you said Tampa. And I think you're right in saying that. If the Niners are the 5 seed and Tampa's the 4 seed, you go to Tampa in January and you're probably 3.5-point underdogs, maybe. 3.5. But, you know, and that would be akin to the Warriors going out and winning one series, right? If the Niners won a playoff game, that would be like what the Warriors did last year. They won one series. And you also said earlier about, you know, the level of excitement. And I just remember last year, after they beat Houston in 7, we all were super excited.
Yeah.
And we loved their chances to go out and beat Minnesota. They were underdogs, but not heavy underdogs. And so I think before the Steph injury, we certainly were all very excited about what that run actually might have been able to be.
Yeah, no, there's no two ways about it. So, and now, again, if you just peel back the onion just to go to last year and look at what this team was once Jimmy Butler arrived, then I don't think you need to stretch your brain very hard to think that this could go well. I get everybody's concern about age, but Mike Dunleavy said something in his most recent trip to 95.7 The Game that I thought it finally caught me. I was listening to it earlier in the day, walking along the Embarcadero with the AirPods and listening to Steiny and Goo. And I heard Mike Dunleavy say, I totally get your concern about age if we're talking about sort of a long-term view of the organization. But that's not what we're doing. We're really looking at this year and next year. And that's it. That's all we're doing. So is there any validity to the idea that your 35, 36, 37-year-old athlete, is there a higher likelihood of, like, tweaking a muscle? Sure,
yeah,
sure,
yeah.
I'd buy that. Is there a higher likelihood of breaking a bone or tearing an ACL? I don't know that to be true. And
yeah,
those are the kinds of things that actually derail this. Like, Al Horford did what? Al Horford was 39 last year. He made it through the season. Jason Tatum did not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's why Al Horford is here. He admitted it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm here because Jason Tatum's not there.
Yeah, and that whole thing broke apart with one negative step, as we learned.
Yeah.
He did the split step, and same as Halliburton in Indiana, Achilles, kaboom, gone. And so, yeah, all of this could unravel in a very quick and dramatic fashion, and I don't even want to put that out there as a possibility. Of course, it's a possibility, but assuming regular health versus, you know, veteran rest. Yeah, this team should be able to, when you get to April, assuming that they are a team that doesn't have to fight through the play-in and do what they did last year, they should have enough pieces. They should have enough to make some sort of a run.
Yeah, you would think. So 888-957-9570. Do you see this Warrior season as a top four seed? Do you see it sort of more middle of the playoff rock, or do you see it as the bottom half and being almost all the way out of this situation? We'll take your calls up to 6. Warriors Live coming at 6 o'clock, 888-957-9570 is the number. I also think just about some of these early matchups. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit of what we would call an intimidation sensation out of the gate to look at the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. The importance of getting at least one of these. I think they're the better team tonight. I think Denver is really, really, man, on paper, that team's tough. I love what they did in basically turning the Porter Jr. slot into Cam Johnson. I think is a wonderful upgrade toward youth and both sides of the floor. I love what the Denver Nuggets did. But it would be great. It'd be great to see these Warriors just kind of introduce themselves this year's version to the Bay Area by having an impressive start in these first 72 hours in these first two basketball games.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, like I mentioned before, the road trip of a sort of a gauntlet, a lot of games in succession, and you've got a back-to-back next week, Monday, Tuesday, Memphis and the Clippers, and I think the Clipper games this year, for me, are going to be really fun to watch.
Yep.
A little bit of an old-timers feel to it with, you know, their old team. They're actually the only team in the first time this year.
Do it!
Association!
There it is.
They're the only team in the association that's actually older than Golden State.
Yep.
And so, you know, they've got Chris Paul 2 years after you had Chris Paul, which is hilarious.
I forgot they have Chris Paul to go with Harden and Kawhi.
That's right, and Bradley Beal, if I'm not mistaken, who's no spring chicken himself.
Yeah.
So those games are going to be fun, watching a bunch of guys in their late 30s duke it out. But that's another team that is going to rely on being healthy. Of course, all teams will. And the Lakers, you know, with a 41-year-old LeBron already, you know, with a soft tissue injury, having to deal with that heading into the start of the year. So it's a crapshoot for a lot of these teams, but especially teams that rely on older players.
Well, that's the thing, man. I tend to think that this is just the nature of being a fan. When you're a fan, you look at your team and you roll your eyes. That's just what you do. That's what you do. How many Warrior fans are driving around the Bay right now being like, man, a bunch of old dudes? Well, but those same fans would be like, dude, the Clippers look good this year. Well, they're older. They're even older. That roster that you just mentioned would have been incredible if it was 2014, but it's not. And you know, Kawhi Leonard and health, are you kidding me? I mean, he's probably been the poster of health frustration outside of Joel Embiid in this era of NBA basketball. But I'm not taking shots at the Clippers. They are a good team. I'm just saying that I don't really buy in to the idea that the Warriors are too old. Sure, there's an injury risk. Sure, there's an injury risk if you're 25. You know what I mean? Let's take a look at the Niner injuries. I mean,
Football's totally different,
Totally different, but okay,
George Kittle,
fine.
Old guy injury.
Then let's do Halliburton, and let's do, you know what I mean? Let's do Tatum. And let's look at some of the serious injuries that have gone down in the NBA. Even Chet Holmgren last year, when the Warriors took him out early. Like, I don't like saying it like that, like it was on purpose.
I know, it was total accident.
You know what I mean?
Like, of all the people to not take someone out, Andrew Wiggins is that guy.
Seriously.
You know?
I look at a Warrior team that simply needs to have a plan. That's all, and they do. And so they will manage this, and it will be difficult, and we'll cross our fingers, and there will be moments where one of them has to limp off, and we'll have the whole MRI thing, and is it only going to be 2 weeks or is it 2 months? Like, of course, that's going to be part of this season like it is for every team. But the more I've thought about this throughout the offseason, and the more I've looked at the depth of the Warrior roster, I am completely at peace with their age.
And I think that what Steve said in that cut we played a few moments ago about the puzzle fitting, and I always chuckle because Steve loves the puzzle. You know, the puzzle pieces have to fit and all the rest of it, but I do think that this year the puzzle actually fits even better than last year. And Kyle Anderson was a good defensive player, but he's not a true space guy. And, you know, D'Anthony Melton was great, and hopefully he'll be healthy enough to be that same player that he was before his injury last year. But this year you do have more pieces, and I think Seth Curry as an off-the-bench shooter helps, and Al Horford is the big key. You've been dying for a stretch five, a guy who can truly be out there and be a heads-up, smart veteran player who can also knock down the three ball, and you've got that this year. And so now Quentin Post, he gets to just be the backup catcher, and I made that call earlier, and I think that's kind of the way you see him.
Yeah. If,
you know, when Al's not in there, he's going to get a chance to play 8 or 10 minutes and shoot it, and when Al is getting veteran rest, he's going to get 15 or 18 minutes.
And he gets to learn under Al Horford, which I think is key. I love your backup catcher idea now that I understand it.
Yeah.
When you first said it, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
About. But now I get it. You're basically saying Quentin Post needs to be Al Horford 1.5 times a week.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
It. That's it. And Al Horford gets to be Al Horford like 3 times a week.
Yeah, and you'll have TJD come in, and he will never be Al Horford in that way, but he's a guy who can come in and be a big body, be a disruptor at the five and rebound and defend certain people. Like, I'm looking at the Clipper roster, and there's a Clipper that you know I love. Zubats.
Oh, he's...
He's a handful
now. He's really good.
He's a monster.
If you asked me, like, take away the superstars, and you just said go around the league, who would you love to just pluck and make a Warrior? Zubats.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love it. They would be a total. They'd be. I'd argue that, man, they might be the favorite if they had that dude.
I mean, he can't really shoot it, but who cares? He's a big dude who has some skill. And he's 7'2", 240, and he goes out there and gets every rebound. And I bet you Draymond would love to have him. No more playing the five,
yeah,
Draymond.
Exactly. Zubats. Exactly.
He's going to play the five. But just thinking about TJD and his role, he's going to have a role on certain nights. And I'm thinking about guys like Zubats. You know, when you've got big bodies to face, you're going to need some bigger players, some more athletic, longer fives who can be specialized players in those spots.
You can hear the party that's getting started here at Thrive City. It's Watch Party Willard and Dibs, Warriors and Lakers, just 90 minutes away. Warriors Live, just over a half hour away. And we're talking out the season and taking your predictive phone calls as we do it. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Morgan in Morgan Hill. Hey, Morgan, we appreciate the call.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Really excited for this season. Really optimistic, but I'm also really nervous because I am 37 years old myself. I've played basketball my whole life. I continued, you know, I played in, tons of adult leagues. I'm still in an adult league to this day. And my age 37 year, I'm telling you, I'm now becoming a shell of myself on the court. And so I'm living through it right now. So, but, you know, obviously I'm not a fine-tuned athlete like Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. But the one guy on our team that I'm most concerned about, his body kind of losing a step, not necessarily getting injured, but just losing a step, is Draymond Green. And if Draymond Green does lose a step, I mean, I think he's still is the key to success for our team, his tenacity, his energy. And so I hope this isn't the year he loses a step like I have, but that's what makes me the most nervous.
I get it, Morgan. I think that's a fair call.
I would say he's already lost a step. So, like, you hope he doesn't lose another step. I get that. But even though when you watch him, he's not as good as he was, he still is so incredibly smart. And defensively, he is so efficient still that I don't worry as much about him losing a step. I just worry about him being able to stay upright with the amount of ice that he takes throughout the game.
Yeah, they've all lost a step. Honestly, they've all lost a step. Jimmy Butler is not prime Jimmy Butler. Steph Curry is not really prime Steph Curry. Draymond Green is not prime Draymond Green. But my goodness, they're all 90-something percent of themselves, and they're all still really, really good. And I get the Draymond point, but I would just say this. Again, the Warriors, to a degree, how are they going to beat you? They're going to outthink you. That they're not going to go over your head. They're going to make you look over there and then go around you. That's the way that they're going to have to win. And they do that really well. And by the way, 8 or 9 times out of 10, I'll take the smart team over the high-flying team. You'd love to have both, high-flying and smart. But if you got to pick one, I'll take smart. And that's the Warriors. And as far as Draymond and, you know, his health and whether or not he's fresh out there, this is, I mean, the most important person on the Warriors might this year be Rick Celebrini or whoever is sitting with that whole group and coming up with what we will call the plan.
There's
no doubt they already have done it. They've already mapped out what they're hoping to do, when there's going to be a day off, Al Horford on a back-to-back, Al Horford not starting tonight, all of that stuff. Like, they're going to have to just do an unbelievable job of managing their assets throughout the year.
And that's one of the things I worry about the least, because they've been at the cutting edge of doing just that, of figuring out how to manage playing time and load and age and all the rest of it. And the San Antonio Spurs, I think, were the first to really load manage effectively to where they won a championship. I mentioned the 2014 team before. That was a team that was load managed because they had older players. So I do believe that this team will do that, and they'll do that very well. I'm more concerned about just the general ability of especially Draymond Green to withstand the rigors of a year. And that's why a quick start, a good start to the year is so important, because last year you got Jimmy Butler and now you're chasing games, and they had to chase all the way into April, and then you had to fight like hell to beat Houston, and then you went to Minnesota and Steph pulled a hammy and that was it. Season over. And that's just the way that you don't want to see that go. You want to give guys as much rest as you possibly can. That way you can be somewhat fresh in April.
Indeed. Yeah. So 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll keep going on the phones here in just a sec. We're talking out the Warrior season on 95.7 The Game, which is presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. How about Cameron in Martinez next up? Hey, Cameron, thanks for the call, man. What you doing?
Driving back from the city in traffic. How you guys doing?
Yeah, we're good, man. We're good.
Okay, so I just wanted to call because I heard Steve Kerr make a comment on the last preseason game talking about playing Draymond 15 minutes a game at the 5 when you have Al Horford, which to me seems crazy if you're trying to load manage him, because why would you want him playing the 5? That's going to put a lot of abuse on him. He plays better at the 4 in my opinion anyways. Just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that you might be kind of overselling, quote-unquote, 15 minutes a game. I think that's the idea. To the Warriors and to Draymond, that's a huge step back. That's gaining a lot of energy that he didn't have before, because what they had been watching is at times that number needs to be up more towards 25 or 30. So you're going to have Al Horford tonight. You probably have Al Horford on Thursday. You're not going to have him on Friday. Quentin Post factors into this. Guy Santos factors into this. All the frontline players will factor into this. But, again, I mean, that's the only way I can answer it, Cameron. I don't know how you would, Dibs, which is 15 minutes a night at the five for Draymond Green. That's a good thing. That is lessening his time there.
I also was thinking, as Cameron was making the call, and thank you, Cameron, for joining us, it's a little bit like the 49ers with Christian McCaffrey. The Draymond Green playing the five gives you an advantage. Defensively, he can do it. It's taxing. Offensively, other teams have to match up. You can't put your five on him. Even Ivica Zubats, and I love Zubats, he can't guard Draymond Green. He won't guard Draymond Green because Draymond's playing point guard. So what you do is you force the other team to adjust to you. So I was thinking about McCaffrey, where you would love to not have him have 31 touches a game, right? But you want to win the game, don't you? And McCaffrey is your best option in the pass game and in the run game. So, sorry, Christian. I know right. You don't want to, quote, play the five, although he probably does. And you may not want to have him have, what, 446 touches, which is what he's on pace for, but you want to win. So he gives you the best chance to win. Draymond playing the five has been wildly successful for the Golden State Warriors, so you're going to do it. You're going to do it in spots, and you're going to do it in certain situations because it's a winning formula.
Yeah, I mean, it has been, and I'm just kind of perusing through some of the stuff that a lot of the beat writers have said. Nick Friedell just yesterday wrote, Kerr reiterated today that Al Horford will not play in any back-to-backs this year. So they'll decide each week whether he's going to sit out the front end or the back end of each set of games. I'm no Warrior coach, but if I'm looking at this week's back-to-back...
Yeah, talk to me.
I tell you what, how about if Al plays when Jokic is playing?
Okay.
And then Al doesn't play when you have to get on a plane, fly to Oregon, and play a bunch of the kids up there with the Blazers.
Interesting, though, because, and I don't think you're wrong, but if you do that, then you got a Monday, Tuesday here, Memphis and the Clippers. If you sit him on the weaker of the two, Memphis, well, now that's back-to-back games he doesn't play.
Yep.
And then you dust off Al Horford and you throw him out there against L.A. I'm not saying he'll be rusty, but I do think it's interesting the way you laid it out and the way Steve put it, like he's not playing back-to-backs. And then early November, you have Phoenix here, and then you go to Sacramento.
Yeah.
Well, that's one where you can sit them both.
I mean, it's actually one question I'd love to ask Steve tomorrow.
5 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Steve Kerr. And I'd love to ask him, so please remind me.
Okay.
I'd love to ask him, are you looking at those back-to-backs and making a decision solely on Al's body and how he's feeling, or is it also matchup dependent? So when you mention next week and you go, okay, Monday it's Memphis, Tuesday it's the Clippers, immediately my mind goes, Zubats, I want Al in there.
Yeah, but you got Triple J's, right? He's still
right.
He's back.
Different type of a player, yep. Though. Different type of a player who, in my opinion, spends way too much time out of the three-point line. But he does. And Zubat's much more of a traditional center, much bigger guy. Jaren Jackson Jr., in other words, you could guard him with a multitude of smaller fives or even fours with the Warriors. I don't think you can do that with Zubats. To me, Jokic, Zubats, those are the kinds of players that really take Draymond's energy. So when you're playing one of those guys, I'd love to see Al play, but I have no idea if that's the way the Warriors are approaching.
Yeah, that'll be a good question. And, you know, like I said, early November, you got Phoenix and Sacramento, and, you know, you got Sabonis there in Sacramento, yep. And he's a guy that maybe. I'm sure Draymond would love to play against because that's just a classic Draymond matchup. So that's a good question. I'm going to give it to you. Steve probably won't, but is it based on, like, the metrics of Al's body, or is it based on the matchups? How are you going to determine which end of the back-to-back Al sits?
Yeah, so, but we expect him in there tonight. I have still not seen from anyone an official starting lineup for tonight's game. If you're just getting in your car this afternoon, a report came from Shams earlier today that Steve Kerr was, quote, leaning towards starting Jonathan Kuminga. We know he's starting Steph, Draymond, Jimmy. Brandon Pajemski is thought to be the very likely starting two guard. And then who's that last person? I think a lot of us were assuming it would be Al Horford, but they do want to limit his minutes. Maybe they'll bring him off the bench tonight. And it sounds like the thought was Jonathan Kuminga is going to get that spot at the four, Draymond at the five, to at least start this game tonight. That has not been confirmed, but that's the thought. And then we see where it goes, and we get an immediate look at that group of three that got so much discussion last year, Draymond, Jimmy, and Jonathan. The metrics were not good when they were on the floor together, but we might not have to wait to see it. It might be right away tonight.
Yeah, if it is right away tonight, and based on what I've been noticing of the substitution patterns, Jimmy Butler is usually like the first guy out. 5 or 6 minutes of Jimmy, boom, you're out. So I don't think that you're going to have to worry too much about a long run of that. I don't know if Steph's rotation changes early in the year. It used to be he'd get a whole first quarter, sit for six, get the last six, and kind of repeat that in the second half. I know as he's gotten older, it's changed a little bit. Draymond, too, doesn't get quite the same length up front, but I'll be interested tonight to see that substitution pattern, especially without Moses Moody, and seeing how long that opening lineup goes, if it is, in fact, J.K., Draymond, and Jimmy Butler.
Okay, I can pass this along because Steve is talking in L.A. right now, and Steve Kerr has declined to share his starting lineup.
No!
He has declined to share his starting lineup, only saying that he projects that Al Horford will play around 20 minutes and will not play in back-to-backs, which we know, and he has reiterated that a number of times.
Yeah, there you go. And so, the 20-minute range, if you want to just think about the five, Al Horford plays 20 minutes at the five, then you've got Draymond for, let's just say, 15 minutes at the five, just for the sake of argument. Now you got 13 minutes for Quentin Post and or TJD, most likely Quentin Post, I would imagine. And none of this is an ironclad number, but that's basically the ballpark on how that will go, where, you know, when Horford gets a break, that's probably when Draymond will be coming back in, and there'll be times when Draymond and Horford both sit, and that's where you might see a lineup that has Buttered and Butler and Steph and QP and, you know, maybe Jimmy Butler. You go Buttered and Butler.
Here we go, man.
By the way,
here
guys, really quick.
Yeah.
I know you guys referenced what Woj reported, or pardon me, what Shams reported.
Yes.
About Jonathan Kuminga expected, or maybe we'll start. Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider, has reported that the Warriors will indeed start Jonathan Kuminga. That's just what Chris Haynes is reporting.
Okay.
No word, as you mentioned, from Steve. But another big boy in the NBA world saying that that is what's going to happen today.
Any word on whether or not they're going to let him cook, Grandy?
We're going to find out.
Okay.
Chris Haynes reporting that J.K. will start and get the ball, and only the ball, all night long.
Yeah.
48 minutes of J.K., according to Chris Haynes.
Let him cook.
No. And again, I think there's enough smoke out there to believe this at this point. But Steve Kerr, in his public opportunity, declined to confirm the situation. Still time to talk out a little Warrior season preview with you coming up. As you can hear, we're out here at the watch party, Thrive City, getting ready for the Warriors road opener, the start of the NBA season, at the Lakers in L.A., and all of it all year long will be right here on your home for Warrior basketball, 95.7 The Game. We are sponsored by Moderna, and this is Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.